We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
It's the True Faith Newcastle United podcast. Newcastle have beaten Wolves at home by 2-1, and it feels very, very good to win again, to move back up to fifth in the Premier League. 4 points behind Spurs with 2 games in hand. All of a sudden, the rest of the season looks much rosier. I've got Charlotte, Ben and Si with me to talk about the game today. We're recording immediately after the game in our City Centre studio, and it feels good. We're on Patreon for between £3 and £8 a month. We're going to be reviewing this one and looking ahead to a big game at Nottingham Forest on Friday on Patreon all week. So come and join us. It keeps this podcast going. We would be very, very grateful. Charlotte, that was a good win, was it not?
It was a good win. It was a needed win. I think, you know, not in terms of our season being derailed or anything like that. I'm not going to be as dramatic to say as we needed that to put things back on track. But I think in terms of team confidence, in terms of fan confidence, in terms of getting goals, we needed that. And it does. It feels very good.
Very good indeed. And Ben, Newcastle nearly fucked it up.
We did, yes, but we're not going to focus on that right at this point, Alex. No, I think just on Shaw's point, obviously, I think that would have been top four gone if we didn't win today. Obviously, as you alluded to there, things weren't going our way at one point, but the team showed great character to come back. And as you say, it's just massively satisfying to see Miggy back in the goals, hitting winners for it. And we've scored 2 goals at home. And it just feels like there's a bit of a weight lifted off the team. And we can go into the next match against Forest kind of a lot more confidence, thinking we can go there and give them a good hiding.
Si, thoughts?
Yeah, not much different. Yeah, we nearly fucked it up. And I think there was a spell, especially in the stands, where we thought we had fucked it up because everyone panicked. I panicked. I thought there was no way we were scoring, but I was wrong. You know, I shouldn't have doubted Miggy, shouldn't have doubted Howe. We deserved to win that game. And yeah, we comfortably deserved to win that game. It should have been far more than 2-1. So yeah, it's really good to get the 3 points, but with a performance that deserved a 5-0 drum, and we absolutely battered them today. And I think that was it would have been an injustice not to get the win.
I agree with you, Simon. I think that's the important thing to celebrate today. It's not just the result, which is crucial, but Newcastle were the better team there. Nearly, 19 shots on goal, 8 on target. They hit the bar. They gifted the opposition an equaliser, yeah, which we will talk about, sadly, Ben, but later on in the show, just for you, my friend. But it's really important to come back in those big moments when the chips are down, and they were down on 80 minutes in that game, because it was like, we've played well, we've done everything right here, we've scored a great goal. Everything on the pitch has been good, apart from Nick Pope's mad stuff, but we'll talk about that. Everything has been good, and yet here we are 1-1 against a team that have offered very, very little going forward, apart from a couple of shots outside the box and a free kick that was probably going over the bar, and we won the game. This is what this team have not been doing in recent weeks, months, games. It's as soon as the going got tough, we wouldn't capitulate, because we've been losing lots, but we always managed to beat ourselves at time. And if we hadn't got that winner, that beautiful win, I'm sure we'd be sat here talking a podcast saying we've basically drawn or beat or lost. If we lost the game, we've done it to ourselves. We haven't been hurt by the opposition. Yeah. We've done it to ourselves. And the fact that that isn't the case is incredibly satisfying indeed. We have to talk about the front three. We have to talk about Alexander Isak. So let's talk about him. Charlotte, you were keen to talk about the man, so please do.
Yes, I was. I'm to sing about the man. I'm not really going to sing, don't worry. That's not what this is. Just so impressed today. We heard Eddie Howe talk about him in the week and say he's not ready to play 90 minutes yet. And I think that made us all worry that meant he wasn't ever going to start games and we just bring him on for the odd 15, 20
minutes. Classic Eddie, though.
Yeah.
Classic Eddie.
Mind games from Eddie. He was right. He wasn't lying. He didn't play the full 90, but He was so good. What we've been crying out for, I think, today. He was just so impressed with the way that he drops deeper, so he can collect the ball at the halfway line and then push it right up the pitch. He's got the pace on him. He isn't fazed by the fact that Wolves sort of cottoned onto that after about half an hour and were putting two men on him every time he got the ball. He seemed to really comfortably deal with them. Even if he lost the ball, we were just talking about this before we hit record, even if he lost the ball, he went back after it more often than not. Today, he would lose the ball and get it right back. Like, it didn't impact his pace or his confidence on the ball or anything like that.
Got the biggest disgrace of a yellow card doing that,
yeah,
actually.
Ridiculous.
But anyway.
And then obviously he got our first goal today with a superb header, which was just, I'm so glad it was him. I'm so glad it was us that scored first. There was just everything there and I was so happy for him.
It was a complete performance, wasn't it? Like, yeah, everything you said was, he was winning headers like in the first half for fun. I mean, again, some big lads as well. Like, I thought his all round gameplay was brilliant. His movement off the ball there to kind of pull defenders close to him and then just obviously outrun them was brilliant. Dawson just didn't have any answers for him. The press was back and he kind of was leading a lot of that. And we constantly were catching kind of Wolves making hospital passes and on a couple of occasions just passing the ball to us. Obviously, they didn't really lead to much, but it was great to see that back. It was kind of the Newcastle of old, the Newcastle at the start of the season that were just ramping at times and putting teams under pressure, and we haven't really seen that Newcastle for a good few weeks. So he was brilliant, and the goal is an unbelievable header, perfect kind of positioning, and he could have had a couple of goals today. I think that's the only thing you would say is that there was probably more goals out there for him. He was getting into some really good positions, and maybe that's obviously we could have been ruining that on another day if Miggy doesn't come on and score. But a really, really good performance from him, and definitely one that I think he's got to start. He's got to be starting for the next few games, I think, off the back of that.
I also want to just point out that I think I've said it for a couple of weeks, almost as a bit of a joke, that he's not nasty enough yet. We started seeing a little bit of that, like, confidence or nastiness, however you kind of want to label it. Today, he would come up to the crowd and he was revving the crowd up, and he looked like almost like the player we saw at Liverpool at Anfield in August. That little bit of arrogance that you want in your striker, that of course I'm going to score, like, let's get this going kind of attitude. And I don't think we haven't seen him play much. We haven't seen him start a game in ages. And so we hadn't seen that, but I definitely think there's some nastiness to come out of him yet in a good way.
100%. I don't think we can talk about Isak's performance, especially in that first half, exclusively without mentioning Maximan. Now, I spent the first 50 minutes getting really frustrated at Maxi for not even attempting to beat a man, not doing anything, he's getting the ball. What was weird about this is that he seemed to find himself in a lot of space. I don't know if it was the formation that Wolves played, or because Isak was being such a handful, they were more concerned with him, and it was giving Maxi a bit of space to play. And I think he finally realised this after about 15 minutes. But even then, he's kind of not trying to beat the man. He's looking for the easy pass and not making the right decisions. But then out of nowhere, he played like three or four unbelievable balls into the channel, which Isak got onto every one, and then a couple of times a Willock as well. And he's like, I've never seen this side of Maxi before. You don't have to beat a man if you're going to play a perfect ball in for Isak four times in a row. And he's literally behind the defender every time. And then after that, crowd were getting up for him, the corner was getting up, and then he started to run at players and started to beat a man. I think his confidence started to turn during that kind of 15, 20 minute spell at about 20 minutes where we were just battering them, absolutely battering them. And Maxi, Isak, or any of the other lads could have scored, really. You know,
Murphy.
Weirdly enough.
The third of the trio.
We're talking about the front three. Murphy did okay. He did his job. But when you would talk about the press, which was back then, Maxi was doing his job in the press. Mm. Isak was doing his job in the press. If anyone was letting it down, it was Murphy. And the one reason Murphy has been picked in this team on that right is because he does all the running. And he was always the last one to catch up with his man, the last one to kind of put that bit of pressure on him. So it's really frustrating.
To be fair to Murphy, I'll stick up for him. He has been playing like right back for a lot of games. And I think he was just defaulting into his mindset. Like, crap, where's their like attacker? I've got to get back and double up on him.
Isak, what a goal. I think this goal, You know, it's a header and it's a set piece. Newcastle, you know, even though it was great to go in the lead at half time, Newcastle played very well. I was thinking, great, but we do need to score from open play, which we did in the second half. But the, you know, it's an outswinger. The Wolves players know where the ball's going to go in the box, roughly. When Alexander Isak makes his run, the goalkeeper knows roughly where, if he heads the ball, if he gets in that connection, it'll go, and it still goes in, because the quality of the ball and the quality of the header are such that you can't do anything. And this is the thing about where Newcastle United are going and are right now in terms of where they've been. And I don't want to slag off Callum Wilson too much, if at all, but that was a £63 million header. He's actually headed that ball really far away from the goal, and the keeper has got nowhere near it.
Yeah.
It's just quality like that that you have to buy. You can't improve players to that level, I don't think. You can't get Emil Kraft, who hasn't played this season, or Javier Manquillo, to put that quality ball into the box from a set piece. What a goal.
I think what was interesting about the way that played out is that we had that free kick, and the crowd weren't sort of treating it as an attacking free kick. No one was. I think I was just chatting away. Most people were just chatting away. It's like, I've got a free kick somewhere near the halfway line. No one's asked because we've been so bad at set pieces recently. And then it doesn't even matter. The delivery's been good. We've just been crap at getting anything on the end of it. Like, Wilson's not scoring that header. And this is, I think it just caught everyone, including Wolves, off guard, how good a header that was. It was, you're right, absolutely world class. And the crowd, the celebration just was like zero to a million, because there was no like anticipation. There was no build. It was like, oh, it's a good ball, but we're not going to. Oh, shit, it's a goal. Like, it was unreal.
Unreal it was. You know what? We've got more to say about Alexander Isak, but we're going to leave it here for part one. A couple of adverts coming up, or one advert coming up, we'll see. And after that, we'll be back. If you don't like the ads, you can get these podcasts advertisement free for just £3 a month on our Patreon. Back after this.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Isak again. More Isak. For the rest of my life, please. More Isak.
Just an Isak pod now. True Isak.
It's really interesting to me, Si, that you mentioned those balls between ASM and Isak. Two things. One, I reckon ASM is probably thinking, fucking hell, lads, any chance of anyone doing this for me? Because there is a lot of times he gets the ball, but there's like four touches need to go in before someone releases him. Joe Linton being the big exception. Joe Linton and ASM have linked up really well on the left-hand side when they play together. And second of all, again, it's so simple. Like, the opposition know what's coming. They know that ASM's got the ball, that Alexander Isak is going to make a run between the centre-back and the full-back, and he's going to get in the end of it, or he's going to win a free kick, or maybe you'll have a throw-in or a corner defending your own half. Again, it's just something so different to what we've had. If we go to Manchester City last week and we look at that game, Callum Wilson had to do a lot of long ball stuff, which Isak didn't this week, but that running between the channels is something that people have really noticed that Wilson isn't doing. It stretches play, it stretches teams, it makes the opposition run back towards their own goal, and we just haven't had it. And like one of you said before, it's just a breath of fresh air. Like, we look a much more dangerous side with our centre forward stretching defences.
I think I said last week that Wilson looks like he's lost half a yard of pace. That wasn't the case. With Isak, you can see how fast he is. The fact that he was just getting in between the defender and he was starting off a yard or two behind him and getting there first every single time. But I think what's a really interesting, I was just looking at the stats there for the game. Yeah, loads more chances. We really have battered Wolves, but Wolves have had like 60% possession in that game, and that tells its own story. It tells you how quickly we were breaking. You know, for weeks and weeks and weeks, we've had loads of the ball and teams have just said, hey, yous have it, whatever, not going to do anything. And we've been slow, build up slow to get anywhere, but having loads of possession and saying that was good. Whereas this week it was like, no, we're going to be very, very snappy, very quick with it, very productive with the ball. And that showed in that kind of Maxi and Isak link up. It was like, right, boom, where's he going to be? Boom, pass. Willock's making really quick runs. To be fair to Murphy, he's making quick runs. Everything was much quicker and much more accurate most of the time today, and it was just much more effective. We really should have been two or three up at halftime. Loads of blocked shots, you know, on another day, some of those just go past the defender or go in and or deflect in or whatever. But yeah, just like, I just think what we've been complaining about for weeks is that we're not quick enough, we're not building up quick enough. Howe's found the answer. We've done that today. We've found the quick build-up play, but probably Isak and Maxi are the reason that it's worked.
Yeah. No, I mean, it was a dynamic team, wasn't it, that he put? I mean, I think, as you say, he's changed that front three to kind of freshen things up and give a bit of impetus in it. And you've got to say it worked today. Like, we started, I mean, I thought the first couple of minutes we were on it from kind of the kickoff, and it was great to see, as you say, just playing with that energy. And you're right not to kind of pile on Wilson, but as you say, if he's not trained all the time, if he's not fit, if he's not able to kind of run beyond defenders, like we know he can at his best form when he's fully fit, then it's kind of like, well, if you can't do that role, then we need someone in that can. And I was really delighted with Isak's performance, especially because obviously we've seen him in the last few games coming off the bench and having a real impact.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, he's clearly one of our best players. Can we not say that from the off? And obviously he's come on and scored a goal and could have had a couple of others. So yeah, really, really positive performance and hopefully something we'll build on.
I think today is the first time, and correct me if I'm wrong, I think today is the first time that Alexander Isak has legitimately been picked in front of Callum Wilson. Mm. You're the main man. You're the centre forward. You're not just in because Wilson's out. And then therefore, if Wilson comes back, you might lose the shirt. And you just, like you alluded to earlier, Charlotte, there was a confidence about him today that we haven't seen as much since that first game against Liverpool. And absolutely delighted for the lads. I can't wait to see him play against Tottenham Forest. Really, really, really excited. We'll move on to some other aspects. First of all, I just want to give a shout out to Wolves today. I know that's normally something we don't do on the True Faith podcast. Wolves are fine. They're not bad. They're not going to get relegated. Mm. They've been one of the form teams since since the World Cup. I think they were kind of 10th in the form table, something like that, since the World Cup. They're a decent team. They are fine. Newcastle battered them today for me. Newcastle battered them.
Beat Spurs last week?
Yeah, Wolves are good. Wolves are fine. They're not going to push the top eight or anything. They've got a good manager, got some good players. I thought Newcastle were far superior today than Wolves, even though Wolves got kind of that gift, which we'll talk about in a bit. But let's stay on the positives. Joe Willock, I'm going to start on Joe Willock. I thought it was one of his best games for Newcastle today. It's almost like he'd been out of the side for a while and just thought, fuck's sake, we're shit without me. I'm going to come back in. I'm going to make this work again. He's playing the wrong side of the midfield. He's playing with his left, but he can use his left and his right. I just thought he was everything today. He was absolutely everything. He was instrumental in anything Newcastle did well. He played a part in, and I also really enjoyed watching him just boss other players about. It's not something I've seen from him loads. Mm. There was a point in the second half when Dan Byrne played the ball back to Nick Pope, who was put under pressure when he sliced the ball out of play, and Willock went fucking nuts at Byrne. He's like, forward, play the ball forward. I want the ball. Give me the ball. I've got three men on me. I don't care. I want the ball at my feet. We haven't seen that from him so far, and it's almost like this little spell out of the side. He's realised either how good he is or how bad we are without him. I don't know. I liked it, whatever it was.
It's almost like what we wanted to happen with Bruno. When Bruno went out for those three games, you know, sitting watching us play, and we weren't very good and we really needed him. And he was excellent today. Excellent. He was great today. Willock was the standout in the midfield for sure. It's what I kind of expected Bruno to do. I've been out for these three games with shite without me. I'm going to be class when I come back in. But actually, he's taken a little bit more building up, I think, Bruno, whereas Willock's like, nah, I'll show you what I can do straight away. His heat map, Newcastle's Twitter is the first heat map they've released as his. They clearly know that he was the playmaker today. I don't know what's happened in the last 1 week, but it's for me, it seems psychological, like a psychological shift with a lot of these players. I know he hasn't sort of started for a while, so maybe it's not just the last week, but it did feel like a different mood among the whole squad today. And I think that fed the crowd a little bit, and then the crowd fed it. But yeah, I totally agree. He did. He just seemed full of confidence, full of like, I'll show you what I can do. And he was one of a few players, including Yusef, which we've mentioned, that wasn't asked if there were like three or four players on him, two or three players on him. It's like, I'm absolutely comfortable getting around them and sorting this out. So bring it on.
I mean, just to quickly on that point you just mentioned in there, I mean, Eddie Howe's come out and said kind of that cup final was a bit of a distraction. Mm. Maybe that's a result of the fact that that's done and dealt with now. And it's almost like, right, back to sorting shit out in the league and actually getting back to winning ways, because we have had an average run of games where we've just not been winning games, and it kind of probably did coincide with the cup final. But just on Willock, I mean, he again, the word I used before for the attack was dynamic, and Willock was dynamic today. Just every time he was getting on the ball, he was trying to get forward. As you say, wasn't afraid kind of where to pick the ball up and kind of run at players. And the thing with Willock is he's got everything, like very quick, got good feet, like good range of passing. Like he should be contributing more, and we've kind of said it for a little while that he's a player capable of scoring goals, and he hasn't been doing it. But I thought today, as you say, he was the man that kind of took us on his kind of back a little bit and was trying to push us forward, and obviously get his assist for the Miggy goal, which is brilliant. I actually thought at the time, I thought he'd fucked the chance a bit, because obviously he gets the ball on the edge of the box and it's like, shoot, like for fuck's sake, shoot, please. Like someone have a shot. He doesn't. He cuts back, runs after the three defenders, and I'm like, where are you going here? And then he slides it through to Miggy, who's just like basically the partner of the Red Sea, Wolves' defence. Miggy's just through one-on-one with the keeper. And it was a brilliant, brilliant bit of play from Willock, because I was shouting at him at the time. But just shows it again, that confidence thing of like, I don't know necessarily that he would be looking for that almost like playmaking pass. In the past, he's obviously a player that likes to score and probably would have taken the shot on it at the point. So maybe that's a little bit of his development, that he's understanding kind of what his role needs to be within the team. And especially when we haven't got Joe Linton, what I felt like, you talk about Bruno there, I felt like Bruno probably felt like he had to do a bit more of the defensive work because we were lacking that. And that then meant, well, Willock, you're going to have to do all the running and the attacking. I mean, I think Bruno was still getting forward, but it was definitely one of Willock's better performances, where I thought he was probably other than Isak, I would say Willock was one of the stars for us today. So yeah, it was great to see him doing that, and hopefully he can push on and kick on, because I think that's what we're missing in that midfield three, is we don't really have that dynamic midfielder that can kind of take the game to teams. Bruno and Joe Linton have got their real strengths and can do different things, but Willock running with the ball at pace and kind of running at defenders and committing them is just a dynamic we don't have when he's not there.
Yes, indeed. And it'd be very, very interesting to see, assuming everyone is fit and well, for that Manchester United game after the international break, when Joe Linton is available again, if he comes back in. Because today, Willock linked brilliantly with Isak, but also with ASM and Dan Burn as well. They look like a real partnership. And you know, Joe Linton's had a lot of plaudits this season, even when he was playing further forward on the left-hand side, and deservedly so, but maybe the plaudits should have gone more to Joe Willock than they have been. I mean, Newcastle today have scored twice in the league at home for the first time since October, I think, against Aston Villa. That seems like a long time ago. It is really interesting, isn't it? I do want to keep talking at Wolves, because Newcastle were everything that we want them to be today. They were exciting in attack. They were, apart from the goal and a couple of other mad moments from Pope, they were pretty defensively solid. I don't know if any of you want to talk about the defence today or Pope. Or
well, just quickly on that point, though, I think what the kind of to exclamation mark that point was the fact that Adama Traore gets hooked at half-time, who was against Dan Burn. I was thinking, fuck, like, he could have a field day here. And he got hooked at half-time because it just wasn't working. And then Pedence kind of comes off at the end, who I thought was their best player, and obviously hit the post, kind of had looked dangerous, but I think we dealt with their threats and nullified them enough that it was kind of like they had to change, and they had to kind of make wholesale changes to try and get back in the game. And to be honest, they didn't really work. They just got really lucky that Trippier slips over. But yeah, I'll let Si jump on the defence.
Yeah, I mean, thought generally, it was nice to see Shah back. I thought Shah looked really good. He was very good in the air, actually. Again, Shah, he wins a lot of headers for you know, you don't.
And he didn't go down with a head injury.
Yeah, that's true. He lasted the whole game. But yeah, just on Dan Byrne, who we've talked about a lot on this podcast about whether he should be starting this sort of game. And I was of the changes in the lineup, that was the one I really wanted to see and was a bit worried about. And again, for the first 50 minutes, like, here we go again. He's just sitting in his own half. Maxi's going to have to do it all himself. And then I don't know at what point, once we started to flow and start to click, Byrne was also getting up, to be fair to him. He's getting involved. His delivery isn't great because he isn't a fullback and he's not a good crosser of the ball, but he was at least taking a man away and doing some runs. And then after about 20 minutes, when I'm shouting at Maxi saying, just try and take a man, beat a man. The first player in the team to try and beat a man was Dan Byrne. When Maxi threads in through and he knocks it past one defender, but the touch is so bad, he just ends up absolutely clattering through Ruben Neves. Like, well, actually, didn't create a chance, but he's nearly wiped Neves out of the game. So fair play, Dan Byrne.
That was amazing.
Yeah, that was a funny little spell. But yeah, I thought defensively we were fine. Yeah, Trippier had an excellent game, by the way. And he just has such a mare for the goal. Like, yeah. He slips. He's on his left foot. He doesn't need to kick it and all three things happen and it's a beast.
He doesn't need to be there at all. Yeah.
Otherwise, yeah, you mentioned that they hit the post. But other than that, I think we contained Wolves pretty well whilst having loads and loads of our own chances, which is exactly what you want from this team.
Nick Pope, thoughts?
Let's move on. we were talking about this before, like, he gets some hospital passes at times and there's times where I think we go back to him more than we need to. You kind of make the point about Willock having a go at Byrne. Like, I think you can have a go at all the defenders saying, like, at times we go back to Pope when just play the fucking ball forward. Like, let's play faster. We'll play too slow at times. And I think there was a couple of times. I mean, obviously the potential penalty incident just should never happen. Like, it's such a bad touch. Like, where and why are you kicking the ball back to your goal when you're the keeper? There's no one there. There's a defender coming on you. It's just so many things wrong. And obviously we know, obviously the last big game he had was the Liverpool and he had a mare. You do wonder, is that maybe he's playing on his mind? But I think after he kind of made that error about two or three times, but then I think as a keeper, he got his confidence back by making some unbelievable saves. Obviously, the free kick that you said was going over, I'm saying it's going in top corner. It's a great free kick and it's an unbelievable save. And then he comes and claims it right at the end when there's a bit of pressure in there, kind of coming onto us. Like, that is what Nick Pope does, is he's just the common influence on that defence. And okay, he wasn't doing it with his feet today, but he did it with his gloves, and that's the most important bit.
Yeah, I think the weird thing is over the season he's been perfectly reliable with his feet and he can be part of that back five, but as soon as he's had that moment with Liverpool and then he had that moment in the first half where penalty situation, and then we did it loads more. It was like, here you go, Nick, you've got 1 second to control this and find a pass. It's like, you just don't need to do that to him sometimes. And I love the fact that we try and play it out. I love the fact that the last thing we want to do is just hoof it and give it back to the opposition. But sometimes you do just think, oh, lad, just clear it. Don't put Pope in that position. There was another opportunity, wasn't there, where the attacker got there and he's ended up having to smash the ball off him out for a throw-in. But like, just no need to get ourselves in that situation.
Football's a funny game because you're here telling me, and I'm not saying you're wrong, you're here telling me it's the defender's fault. You know, he sorted himself out. He could have been, and arguably, I want your thoughts, should have been sent off. Alan Shearer thought it was a red card. Apparently the Sky commentators thought of red card. Charlotte, what did you think? Red card or no?
I mean, it was the other end of the pitch to where we were. It just looked fucking daft. I think looking back over the over the sort of highlights, although it's hard to call it a highlight for us, but yes, looking over the highlights, I think we are lucky that it wasn't a red card and penalty, but that it was the right call for it not to be.
Yeah, it's never a pen, man. It's a dive. Like, the bloke's just looking for it all day long. Like, a better striker just takes the ball and puts that in the back of the net and just says, thank you, Nick Pope.
yeah, he's already like hitting the deck by the time he gets in. Like,
it's just a dive.
Pope, yeah.
I agree with you. I'm pleased the ref didn't give it. Shock.
Yeah.
But I'm pleased the ref didn't give it. But, a bit like the last game that we won in the Premier League with Mitrovic's pen, there's two massive bits of luck for Newcastle. And the luck hasn't really been in of late. So, you know, these things. And Newcastle played really well today and deserved to win the game. So there's that to consider as well. But, you know, come on, Nick. Come on.
What's he, like, what you're thinking?
Yeah. And as well, like you say, Ben, I don't know why the lad goes down, but there is contact. I don't think it's a pen, but if I'm in that away end, if I'm at Forest last week and me and Ben were talking pre-game, we've got fucking business with Nottingham Forest the last time we were there in the championship.
With a capital Z.
Yeah. to sort out, you know, the penalties then, and it's just, it's, I don't know. I don't really have the words to describe how lucky we were, because there's contact there. Yes, it's a dive.
It's Andy Madley as well.
If the referee gives that, it's never getting overturned in a million years.
Yeah.
But we'll take it. Thanks very much, Forest. Forest, Wolves, get them confused, these
Midlands
clubs.
Thanking them in advance for capitulating.
Thanks for the 3 points. What else do you want to talk about?
Set pieces for me. I thought they were really, really dangerous today. And we've talked about it on a couple of pods recently about how ineffectual we've been and how badly we've defended them. I thought in both areas today were really, really good. Trippier's deliveries, as I kind of alluded to.
Did you see that short corner that Trippier took the maxi?
It was poaching.
It's one of the worst set pieces I've ever seen.
Do you reckon it was just because it was ASM's birthday?
You've got that one.
I haven't got your present allowed. Yeah. But if you want to take a short corner at any point in this game, I'll give you.
That's your one. Yeah, try and beat just them one. Two. Yeah. No, I mean, to be fair, that was just to put them into false pretenses that we're going to do that all game. And then Trippier started whipping and wielding all game. So, No, it was nice to see. Like, we created a couple of good chances. Obviously, Bruno hits the bar as well from another one where goes to the back post and Byrne does brilliant to kind of put it back into the danger area. But I just thought we were dangerous from them. We looked a threat again where we haven't in previous games. Trippier's delivery was much better today. And as you say, we didn't do many of the short corners today. It was more whipping the ball at the box where we've got the massive lads going in attacking. And even Botman could have scored one, I think, at the end as well as a great chance. But
Bruno
defensively,
had a lovely opportunity too.
Yeah. But defensively, like again as well, like that we were saying, like that's the kind of the only way Wolves it felt like we're going to score. And I feel like we dealt with all of them really, really well as well. I don't really remember them having like creating any real chances from any of their kind of free kicks or corners, other than obviously that kind of Pope save. So yeah, I feel like it's back to kind of business. We've got kind of the blueprint back for how we're going to be successful for this kind of running, and things are starting to look a lot more positive.
They are, yeah. Nice to score off a set piece, like you said. Newcastle have had a lot of them, a lot of corners, but we looked dangerous across the pitch today. It wasn't just set pieces. It wasn't just open play. It wasn't just down one side of the pitch. And then I want to say a word for Miguel Almirón. Dropped today, and I know we come to expect this from this version of Newcastle United, and even to be fair, before the takeover, before this manager came, they've always been a quote unquote good set of lads. Miggy today dropped for Jacob Murphy. Miguel Almirón was our top scorer, is our top scorer in the Premier League. He could perhaps have been entitled to say, are you kidding me? I'm the top scorer. I'm the only one who's scoring, and there's none of that. He comes on, he puts in 100%, and he gets a great goal at the end, which. As I come back to the office and watch highlights, takes quite a big deflection, which may have had something to do with it. But also,
he's in the right position.
He's in the right position, right player, right time, right foot for him.
left foot
for him, which is important. And great goal, great moment. Really, really happy for him, happy for us, happy for the team. Anyone on Miggy?
I think just that he is such a confidence player, isn't he? He hasn't been playing very well lately. I think that was the entirely right call to pull him out of the starting 11 and to bring him on to make a bit of a difference. I think getting a goal like that is just going to up his confidence. I think a game like Forest might be a game for him. If not starting, then coming on from the bench, because he's now got that goal. So it'll be Forest last game. I got a goal, confidence player. Just ready. I think it was, I'm really pleased for him.
Happy days for Miggy Almirón. Happy days for us as well. Just quickly on the context of the win as well, momentum is important, and I look at Liverpool this weekend. Now, Newcastle's results, now the season has progressed a little bit, have a little bit more context. So we thought when we went to Palace and kind of dominated that game and we got a draw, it was like, it's good to be playing well and creating chances. Turns out Palace are shit and can't score, don't have shots, and that was a bad result.
Draw with most people, though, so...
same with Leeds at home. That was a bad result in the context of how their season's gone since. But that draw at Bournemouth, Bournemouth have been, really good, really good since then. Could have won at Arsenal, have beaten Liverpool. That's a good result. And I just look at, us this weekend. Spurs won, and it's been a difficult week for Spurs, but Liverpool winning 7, beating us, then beating Man U by 7, beating Everton and then losing 0-1 yesterday to Bournemouth away from home and missing a penalty. I really like the way that this has gone. I like the fact that we have Forest next. I like the fact that we're back into fifth place. We've basically had a horror couple of months. You know, it's not just the defeat in the cup final. It was the whole day. It was just the way it went. It was the goalkeeping situation. Then there's the Man City game. There's the Liverpool game on top of that. It's just been a shit couple of months in reality. And to find ourselves still in with Champions League football being a realistic possibility, but also being in our hands. Newcastle win all of their games at the end of the season, which I'm not saying they're going to. They qualify for the Champions League. Spurs can't say that. Liverpool can't say that. You know, there has been conversations recently about what constitutes a good season, because you only start having those kind of conversations when things go wrong, because people start to look at the what ifs. Brighton are a very good team. Okay, and let's see what they do. We have to play them at home. But Newcastle shouldn't be finishing below Brentford. Brighton, arguably, Fulham, Newcastle are a better team than those sides. That's the reason they've been above them all season. There's a reason Newcastle have been above Liverpool all season. And I thought you saw today a shift in the momentum. Newcastle played really well. They could have won that game 3 or 4-1. And we're head to Forest away with a real chance of solidifying that position. And because we play Friday night, putting real pressure on Spurs.
I just want to very quickly say that today's game was fun.
Yeah.
And haven't felt like I had fun at a game for a little while. I don't know if it was just sort of the stakes were higher. Obviously, Wembley stakes were massively high. That was not fun. Last week, I wasn't at City, but it wasn't fun. Man City at the Etihad is never that much fun, is it? And today, particularly in that first half, I was like, oh, we're class. We're so much better than them. This could be a really fun game. And you sort of let yourself enjoy it. And I think next week will be the same.
I think that was a performance from a group of players and a manager. And I'm not trying to predict what Eddie Howe's team talk was, but it was like, you know what? We're not going to let that brilliant first half of the season go to waste. We're gonna kick on. Why not? It really did look like the lads were refocused and really going to make a go of this kind of crunch 10 to 15 fixtures left that... The there's some stuff to play for there. Last week I was like, Champions League, no chance. This week I'm like, you know what? Because the shift was so big and the performance is so good. And yeah, we've only won 2-1, but it was such a good game of football.
Against a team that are in good form as well.
Yeah, exactly. It does feel like a shift. But yeah, I feel like there was a lot of points made there that this season isn't going to wither out, because I think we're all worried that that was the case. I'd imagine the majority of Newcastle fans were starting to worry, are we even going to finish in the top six based on the way it had gone and that terrible couple of months we've had, and that performance there has just kind of put that to bed. It's like, now we're going to make a go of it for the right to the end.
I mean, I said if we didn't win today, I thought that was top four done. Thankfully, I feel like we're, as you say, like that's a big statement win to say.
And now it's top four done.
Yeah, top four. Here we come. I'm already booking me hotels in various European cities.
Just predicting the groups.
Just in case. Yeah. Get me crystal ball out. But no, I mean, I think what I really liked today was like you clearly saw like Eddie Howe putting the gauntlet down, like challenging players today. Obviously, the changes he's made, the people coming in getting opportunity. And you've got to say, like, everybody has like reacted how you would want them to. Miggy's come off the bench and scored. Wilson is kind of put his body about and was an annoying little fuck for half an hour. Did the job. Isak was brilliant, scored a goal and kind of terrorised them for a while. And yeah, there's a lot of things, like a lot of positives to take from this that I think we haven't had coming out of other games. We've kind of been trying to justify, oh, well, it wasn't this bad. We did well in this and stuff. Whereas today, as you say, Charlotte, it was such a good performance. Like a lot of people will have taken confidence and will have enjoyed today's game. And it definitely feels like a momentum change where like we're now back on the up rather than whereas before it was kind of just meandering along.
We all agree.
We're
in agreement.
We'll leave it there for this week. Thanks so much to everybody for listening. Thanks to you three for joining me on the True Faith podcast. As I said, we're on Patreon. It's between £3 and £8 a month. We'll be back with one of these probably Saturday morning, hopefully after we've given Nottingham Forest the hiding that we keep saying someone's going to get, although it's away from home and they've got an excellent home record. But more of that this week on Patreon on the match preview and the like. Speak to you all next week. Bye-bye.